to find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
We're back, second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, the 12th of May, I almost said March. This year has been going by rather quickly, live out of the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network. And my webmaster came in here and admonished me for mispronouncing your name, sir. It is Dar Jamail, and my apologies. The website is www.dar, it's spelled D-A-H-R, Jamail, J-A-M-A-I-L, Iraq, I-R-A-Q, .com, Dar Jamail, Iraq.com. My apologies for mispronouncing your name, sir. Oh,
no problem, believe me.
All right, Rodney in Texas. Rodney, you're up next. Hello, Rodney.
Thank you for taking my call, John.
Yeah.
And I want to thank your guest, Dar Jamail.
See, he got it right.
Yeah, and I'm normally not real good at that. I always murder people's names, and forgive me if I did that. Just to add to that previous caller, Steve from New York, his thoughts on getting records in legal cases. Yesterday, when this story broke about the wiretaps worldwide, I noticed that they said that there was some congressmen who started back in January trying to access the records from NSA, and they were denied access because they weren't given a security clearance. So the question is, if in fact they're not given security clearance and not given access to records and they're trying to get an investigation started, what makes Steve or you or me, think they will be allowed to do the same thing?
Well, and I said this to somebody earlier today. I'm not worried. The FBI doesn't have to keep real big tabs on me. All they got to do is fire up the internet and they can listen to my show, because whatever I say on this program, I say in private conversations, or I'll say in an email or in a phone conversation, whether it be hardline or cell phone, it doesn't matter. They pretty much, their dossier is pretty thick on me. They know who I am and what I'm about. But the problem here, Dar, is we're discussing something, and I happen to mention this. I don't know if you heard it. I mentioned this at the top of the last hour, and we're still getting calls on this. But here is an offshoot to dovetail this into what we're talking about, Iraq, Afghanistan, maybe going into Iran very soon, Syria, and who knows who else on Israel's hit list. I'm sorry, the roadmap to peace. Here's another offshoot. We've got an out-of-control president that wants to tap everybody's telephones. The FBI was doing this long before with Echelon going into the computers. They weren't authorized by law to do this. There was nothing. They were just doing it. The FBI was going into, for years and years and years, into public libraries, snooping on people to find out what books they were reading. Well, they just legitimized it, and then they said, well, this is part of the Patriot Act. And then everybody got upset about it, and we smacked the FBI's hands and said, no, you can't look at people's library cards. But here's the deal. In order to be safe, we have to reconstruct and destruct the Constitutional Republic here to keep us safe. Dar, how about, let's try this one. Why don't we get the heck out of the Middle East, quit funding Israel, ask China, since they're making billions of dollars of us off of us every year, they're not going to cut off their nose to spite their own face by ventures or backing or shipping arms or whatever into the Middle East. Putin is no dummy. I think George can talk to Pooty Poo over there. And I think we can keep these other parties out of the Middle East. We're being just, I mean, we had the president of the United States a couple of months ago call the Constitution of this country, which he raised his right hand in support of, an oath of affirmation. He called it a GD piece of paper. Now, folks, what do you think you're going to get out of a man like this, supposedly at the head of the most powerful nation on the face of this planet? We'll be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Dar, can you spend about 20 more minutes with us? We've got some loaded phones here, and I'm assuming that these people want to talk about our subject matter today and not what I mentioned the first few minutes of last hour's show. Let's go to Bill in St. Louis. Hello, Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Like you're sitting right next to me.
All right. Okay. Listen, I got a little scenario here that I want to get Dar to comment on and see what he thinks about this. Let's just say W goes in there and does an airstrike on Iran. And they go in there and they take out the nuclear facilities or whatever sites. They probably have hundreds of sites that they would like to attack in Iran. But he goes in there and he does it. He makes the attack. It happens. Doesn't Iran respond to this? I mean, won't Iran? I mean, couldn't they overrun our forces that we have over there in Iraq? And not only the Iranians, but wouldn't the so-called insurgency or the rebels over there in Iraq attack at the same time?
Yeah, and leading up to a total coalition of the Arab nations over there to against the United States.
Exactly. I mean, this guy is going to touch off World War III over there.
Yeah, Dar, your comments on that?
Well, you basically lined it out. That is essentially a good overview of what will happen immediately. We've already had Gadal Sadr the second most powerful Shia cleric in Iraq, announced from Tehran when he was visiting Iran that he would immediately help defend Iran both inside that country and in Iraq if it's attacked, and of course alluding to an Israeli or a U.S. Bombing campaign. I think immediately, even according to intelligence analysts in U.S. and in the U.K., said that immediately southern Iraq's going to light up like a candle is the fuse that they, or the phrase that they use. Southern Lebanon, of course, Qatar, places like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, essentially, you described it. It will be World War III, total pandemonium, and the U.S. forces currently in Iraq are going to be, of course, the very first. Those and Israel will be, of course, the very first targets. And again, it's total lunacy. Anyone with intelligence is advising against it. That there's, I think John did a very good job of outlining the solution just before this last break of other diplomatic things that we could use rather than just all-out bombing and sparking World War III.
Yeah,
but
because look at and Dara, look at what we did. Just a little note here, side note. Look what we did. Installing the Shah of Iran, the friendly guy, the regime to the United States. And look when the Iranians took back power once again in their own country. I mean, it's absolutely insane. The meddling factor of not only England before us, you know, this reminds me of another Vietnam. I mean, who was in there before we were? Well, it was the French and the English. So we decided to roll in there and really make a big mess out of things, get millions of people killed. And here we are again, rather than sitting down with these people and saying, look, this can't continue. This is going to escalate into World War III. You think you got enough death and destruction and misery and anger and angst right now. Let's keep this thing going and see where it goes.
That's right. I mean, because even just looking at Iraq, which continues to get worse by the day. I mean, right now, this month, is we have the fifth highest number of average casualties per day of any month so far in Iraq. We're averaging over three a day now. 38 troops, U.S., U.K., and other, have been killed so far just in this month alone. It is continuing to worsen over there every single day, and to even talk about Iran is total lunacy. But again, it's we keep using logic, and I think that's the problem, John.
Yeah. We basically have a scenario here that's illogical. It is absolutely nuts, and we're trying to feed it Prozac, put it in a straitjacket, and it ain't compliant. Bill, anything else?
Well, just one other comment. You had another caller call in there about this phone tapping information gathering. Change your phone service.
It's not going to do any good. All the phone companies are doing the exact same thing. So it's not. Here's the problem. We can't protest by a bunch of customers getting up and saying to AT&T or the Bell Boys or Verizon or Sprint or anybody else. We can't say, we don't like what you're doing. We're going to boycott you. And how I'm going to boycott is I'm dropping your service.
Yeah.
In the sane world, that would work. But when you have an out-of-control Fed going against Constitution and mandating and dictating everything to everybody, it doesn't work.
Well.
And again, let's use Dar's analogy here. How can we be logical about an insane thing?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, thanks, John.
Okay, Bill.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And thank you, Dar, for the work you're doing over there.
Thank you.
All right. Bill in Alaska. Hello, Bill.
Hello, John. Greetings from the most beautiful spot on God's green earth.
Okay. Some would say that's Texas, or the Iraqis would say that it's Iraq.
Well, trust me, I've been to Texas. It's Alaska.
Now, come on now. Anyhow, what's on your mind, Bill?
I wanted to take a second to apologize because I walked in the door about 20 minutes ago. So if I'm asking stuff out of turn or off subject, please forgive me.
That's fine.
I've got Dar's website actually up. Iraq Dispatch is in front of me at the moment. I'm looking at it, and I wanted to thank him for all the work he does because, I mean, this guy just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, what we need this guy is reporting for ABC or CNN or whatever the case. Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah. That might happen.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, hey, let me tell you something, Bill. The first time you run across a sand dune in Alaska, that's when it will happen.
I heard that. Well, at the rate Bush is going, that may be soon.
It may be.
What I wanted to ask is for your comments and his also. If you guys happen to have seen Greg Powell's post today on this wiretapping thing.
No, I didn't. I didn't see it.
He just blew the whole bogus mess right into a cocked hat, man, because what he did was he just exposed what the government's doing with Choice Point. And, you know, and they put billions of dollars into contracts into Choice Point, and anything that they can't get through the Constitution, they'll just go around and buy it. I mean, it's an unbelievably good article, and I just really encourage folks to take a look at it.
I'll see if I can find it.
It's called The Spies Who Shagged Us.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's really unbelievably good because I sit there and watch all these guys, you know, wringing their hands and talking about tapping our phones and stuff like that.
Right.
And it blows my mind because anytime they run into a problem with the law, they just go around it because Choice Point's been doing this stuff for commercial purposes for years. You know, and the government just goes to Choice Point.
And this is what I said before. The FBI has been looking at your library cards. The FBI has been running that program Echelon. The CIA, the NSA, they've been tapping phones inside this country for years. All they did was what the intelligence agencies had been doing heretofore. They just up and declared it legal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what they've done. And again, against the war on terrorism, which is a phony war. If we stop sticking the sharp stick in the caged tiger's eye, maybe the tiger will calm down.
Yeah, and maybe if we weren't the terrorists, there wouldn't be as many.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, see, nobody, and I could just see some U.S. writer or some news organization declaring George Bush to be a terrorist organization. Yeah, I could just see that. Couldn't you just see that happening? I'll come up there, by the way, Bill, and I'll help you look for that sand dune up there.
There'll be a lot of them if Bush has his way.
I'm telling
you. Have a great day, John.
Thanks
very much, and thank Dar for all the work that he does also.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you
for
your
call. Have
a
great day.
Let me see if I can squeeze in Vic from Rhode Island in here. Hello, Vic.
Hi, John.
Yes.
And hi, Dar.
Hi, Vic.
See, he gets your name right, too.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Listen, I'm sorry.
You know, did you guys ever ask yourself what the, you know, the word Zionist? You know, everybody says, oh, the Zionist. You know that word Zionist? That means Jerusalem. And when you look in Revelation chapter 18, and, you know, when you talk about Mystery Babylon.
Right.
Well, you know, you'll see what that's called, the great city. You know, the city that murdered the prophets. Even Jesus said that this, no prophet is murdered, you know, other than inside Jerusalem. And guess what Mystery Babylon is? That's Jerusalem.
Well, and here's the deal. That's going down another path here, but let me see if I can phrase this into a comment and slash question. It seems to me that we have had the Pharisees, and the Zionists is a political movement, okay? This started around the turn of, last century. We've had the Pharisees out there for hundreds and thousands of years. When, Dar, do you see a day that Jews around the world will look at Israel and say, you know what? This is a political, a Zionist-run organization. The Jews want peace. We want to live our life as God intended anybody else to live their life on planet Earth. Do you see an awakening with the Jews coming around?
Well, I think that just goes to really highlight the insanity of the Zionist movement because, you know, this, of course, it is a generalization to group all Jews into that because that's certainly not the case. There's a huge movement over it, even in Israel, of people who want either a one or two state solution. They want peace. They don't want to keep on forward with this policy, this failed policy. But yeah, until that happens, I guess we're ready for more of the same.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take the break. We'll be right back and finish up with my guest today, Dar Jamail, right after this.
Headline news, the much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion, if we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England and the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
One more call here for my guest, Dar Jamail. And again, ladies and gentlemen, his website, The Iraq Dispatches, is Dar Jamail. I'll spell that out. D-A-H-R-J-A-M-A-I-L, Iraq, I-R-A-Q.com. Dar Jamail, Iraq.com. One more call here for my guest, Paul in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hello, Paul.
Hi, John.
Yes.
Yeah, to redeem myself from the last time I called, you'd be happy to know that my roof was replaced by three native-born English-speaking Americans.
And you got a good
price.
So you
won. You won, John.
Okay.
Okay, now my second question is, I heard last night on Coast to Coast, last night was really off the wall. They had to change the name of that show to Thorazine Theater, I'm telling you. But this guy brought up this point. He said that the reason that John F. Kennedy was shot, the real reason was because he insisted on an inspection of the Dimona nuclear facilities in Israel. Now, he just threw this out. I don't know one way or the other. Do you or your guests have any opinions on that?
Dar?
Well, I actually haven't researched that, but it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility and wouldn't be a surprise if that was the primary cause.
Well, and if we look at this, and that's an interesting point, Paul, because you know, he made the international banksters, the gangsters,
right,
mad because he was printing money out of the United States Treasury.
Yeah, Lincoln did that too, didn't he?
Yeah, called United States notes.
Yeah.
Of course, the military-industrial complex wasn't in big favor with him because he told them, he said, look, I'm going to disband the CIA and I'm pulling our advisors out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
He didn't make the mafia too happy because, well,
he was supposed to get Cuba back for them, but that fell through.
Yeah, that fell through. So there was a bunch of people that were angry at John Kennedy for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, the French weren't too happy with him either because I think Kennedy came out in favor of a free Algeria. And that really ticked off the French, but who cares about them anyway?
Well, yeah, French fries and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting point.
Yeah, I was just curious if your guest or you had ever heard anything about that. But anyway, all right, John.
All right, thanks. Well,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Dar, look what they did to Mordecai Vanunu.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
very good point.
Yeah, this guy came out and told the whole world through the British press what Israel was doing. And I interviewed Mordecai Vanunu, and I don't think I'm going to interview him again because he keeps going back. He's one of these people that, oh, war is bad, and we got to get rid of the nuclear weapons. We've got to empower and embolden the UN even more. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to be able to change this guy's, you know, he had his 15 minutes of fame on this network, but at least he was one of the whistleblowers, and this demonstrates what the Israelis are willing to do to people when they give away their little secrets. Now, I don't know if they realize it or not. Maybe I'll get a visit from the Mossad this evening. But I've been blasting this out about nuclear capability that Israel has had for years. And I'm sure I'm not on their favorite buds and pal list, especially when I say things like we should cut off their funding, stop sending them nuclear secrets, or funding them in any way so they can proliferate this stuff around the world. If the American people knew what was going on, I don't think there would be such this favor, and especially with the Judeo-Christian preachers that we're up their eyeballs with here in this country. I mean, it's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Well, I think you're exactly right, hence the media blackout, eh?
Yeah, hence the media blackout. Hey, look, Dar, I appreciate you coming on. You know, my webmaster mentioned to me that we should bring you up on a regular basis. I don't know how your schedule runs. We'll have to work this out with you. But to come up on the network for a few minutes at a time just for an Iraq update.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can arrange exactly that.
Okay.
All right. Dar, Jamal, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Stay safe and keep writing.
Yeah.
All righty. What a guy. You know, sometimes, folks, you get a sense about people. You know, doing talk radio for a number of years, you get a real sense about people and their genuineness. And here's one of the people that I just like to have on the air because he's a gentleman. He's well-educated. He's a doggone good reporter. And he does things in a manner that it's, how should I say this? It's not an in-your-face abrasive approach. He's just a gentleman, and he's just reporting the truth. I wish there were more of the Dar Jamals in the world. I really do. I mean, it's just amazing. I want to, after the break, since Bill in Alaska hunting for that sand dune up there talked about Greg Palast, what I'd like to do is read that article from Greg Palast because I think it's eye-opening. I think it will kind of wake people up, and there's an interest out there. I haven't talked about the USA Today article, and I haven't talked about the tapping and George Bush and all of that. So I'm going to do that in the last half hour of this Friday's program, so everybody stay tuned for that one. And I never got around to doing the article, and it's a lengthy one. Charlie Savage of the Boston Globe staff, no less, came out against Mr. Bush, and he wrote an article, Bush Challenges Hundreds of Laws. President Cites Powers of His Office. And I'll see if I can do a couple of excerpts. I don't like to excerpt people's materials because I like to get to the full flavor of what the writer is saying. But I'll try to pull a couple of cognitive excerpts out of this. And I definitely want to get into Greg Palast's story and his view on this whole wiretapping deal. A lot of good information there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Headline news: activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Oh, folks, I'll give you a little hint here. Gosh, we need victories, most assuredly, but we need to win the war. But, you know, sometimes radio can be real, real fun, especially when you run a radio network. And then you get to choose who's going to be on the air. And for all you people out there that have called me about Eric Williams, There are reasons why this man is being replaced. And I love this guy, do not get me wrong, but we have gone past a lot of the information. See, a lot of people tried what Eric was doing, and a lot of people got into trouble. At any rate, let me give you a hint of what we're thinking about doing here with the 11-to-1 spot here on RBN. It's going to be a consortium of shows. No, I'm not going to give out any names, not yet. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. We've got 4 out of these 5 people locked into this. Actually, 3 out of the 5. And when you see this lineup from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time, it's just going to blow your socks off. I am interested in one thing and one thing only, building the biggest, baddest alternative media out there in the United States today. That is what I am after. Okay, so, and I know a lot of you people have, over the last couple of years have had your favorites that have been on the network, and there's some people that you like, and there's some people that you hate. And you know what? That is part of the game in radio, and especially in this type of media, okay, because you can't please everybody. And I can't even please Melissa in Texas because I said Palast, and it's Palace. No, it's Greg Palace. Not Palace. Some say tomato, some say tomato. Some say Smith, some say Smite. At any rate, I'm just teasing you, Melissa. Thank you for that. I did misspeak the man's name. But this is what he wrote, and I'll read this to you. I know this will make you feel better. The spies who shagged us, the Times and the U.S. Today, have missed the bigger story again. Greg writes, he says, I know you're shocked that George Bush is listening in on all of your phone calls without a warrant. That's nothing, and it's not news. This is. The snooping into your phone bill is just the snout of the pig of a strange lucrative link-up between the administration's Homeland Security spy network and the private companies operating beyond the reach of the laws meant to protect us from our government. You can call it the privatization of the FBI, though it's better described as the creation of a private KGB. The leader in the field is what is called data mining, is a company called ChoicePoint, Inc., which has sucked up over $1 billion in national security contracts. Worried about Dick Cheney listening in on your Sunday call to your mom? That ain't nothing. You should be more concerned that they are linking this info to your medical records, your bill purchases, and your entire personal profile, including, not incidentally, your voting registration. 5 years ago, I discovered that ChoicePoint had already gathered 16 billion data files on Americans, and I know they've expanded their ops at an explosive rate. They are paid to keep an eye on you because the FBI can't. For the government to collect this stuff is against the law unless you're suspected of a crime. The law in question is the Constitution. But ChoicePoint can collect it for commercial purchases, and under the Bush administration's suspect reading of the Patriot Act, our domestic spying apparatchiks can buy the info from ChoicePoint. Now, who are these guys selling George Bush a piece of you? ChoicePoint's board has more Republicans than a Palm Beach country club. It was funded, and it is board stocked by such Republican sugar daddies as billionaires Bernie Marcus and Ken Langone, I think his name is, even after Langone was charged by the Securities Exchange Commission with abuse of inside information. I ran across these guys in 2000 in Florida when our Guardian BBC team discovered the list of 94,000 felons that Catherine Harris had ordered removed from Florida's voting rolls before the election. And by the way, a little side note here, and look what she's running for now. She's in politics. Hey, just the hand that feeds you, you know. Virtually every voter purged was innocent of any crime except, in most cases, voting while black. Who came up with this electoral hit list that gave Bush the White House? ChoicePoint, Inc. And worse, they knew the racially tainted list of felons was bogus. And when we caught them, they lied about it. While they've since apologized to the NAACP, ChoicePoint's ethnic cleansing of voter rolls has been amply rewarded by the man the company elected. And now ChoicePoint and George Bush want your blood. Forget your phone bill. ChoicePoint, a sickened executive of the company told us in confidence, hopes to build a database of DNA samples from every person in the United States, linked to all other information held by ChoicePoint from medical to voting records. And ChoicePoint lied about that too. The company publicly denied they gave DNA to the feds, but then told our investigator, pretending to seek work, that ChoicePoint was the number one provider of DNA to the FBI. And that scares the hell out of me, said the executive, who has since left the company, because ChoicePoint gets it wrong so often. We are not contracting out Homeland Security to James Bond here. It's more like Austin Powers, Inc. Besides the 97% error rate in finding Florida's felons, Illinois State Police fired the company after discovering that ChoicePoint have produced test results on a rape case evidence that didn't exist. And Choice Point just got hit with the largest fine in Federal Trade Commission history for letting identity thieves purchase 145,000 credit card records. Remember when that story hit a couple of months, folks? A couple of months ago? Greg says, but it won't stop, despite Republican senators shedding big crocodile tears about surveillance of innocent Americans. That's because fear is a lucrative business, not just for Choice Point, but for such firms such as Syntec, Sybase, and Lockheed Martin, each of which has provided lucrative posts or profits to connected Republicans, including former Total Information Awareness Chief John Poindexter of Syntec, Marvin Bush, Sybase, and Lynn Cheney, Lockheed Martin. But how can they get Americans to give up our personal files, our phone logs, our DNA, and our rights? Easy. Fear sells better than sex, and they want you to be afraid. Back to today's New York Times, page 28, wider use of DNA list is urged in fighting crime. And who is providing the technology? It comes, says the Times, from the work done on using DNA fragments to identify victims of the September 11th attack. And who did that job for $12 million? No bid contract? You guessed it, Choice Point, Inc., which was not mentioned by the Times. Genetic surveillance would thus shift from the individual, the alleged criminal, mind you, to the family, says the Times, which will require, of course, a national DNA database of non-criminals. Let me stop right here to put this in a sharper focus. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody in America is suspect until you prove yourself innocent of no wrongdoing. Would you like me to repeat that again? Do you understand that this flies in the face of all tenets of a civilized country with its practice in law? Here in this country, we are presumed innocent. This is why we go to court. This is why we have lawyers. We get in there and present evidence to determine who's guilty of what crime. Forget that. That's the America of the past, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we're all suspected of doing something wrong. Now, another thing I want to point out about this is the selling of this information. Insurance companies are now going to get dossiers on, well, what your buying habits are. What kind of products do you take? What are you doing with this? What are you doing with that? What kind of food do you eat? They'll have the information. That's right. If you shop in your grocery store using any other thing besides cash, they're going to know exactly what you're eating for dinner tonight. And the list goes on and on and on. This is just not a war on terrorism. This is a war against your freedom, period. Over and out. Over the phony war on terrorism. You want to find terrorists? Go look in the phone book. Turn on your TV tonight. You'll probably see a picture of George Bush and Dick Cheney, Donnie Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, the Brown Bomber. Just take a look at the images and think in your mind, terrorism. Start putting that face to that term. I don't see Bin Laden over here. Forget it. I let me get through this article or I'll never get through it. It doesn't end there. Turn to the same newspaper, page 23, with a story about a weird new law passed by the state of Georgia to fight illegal immigration. Every single employer and government agency will be required to match citizen or worker data against national databases to affirm citizenship. It won't stop illegal border crossings, but hey, someone's going to make big bucks on selling data. And guess what local boy owns the data mine? Choice Point, Inc., Alpharetta, Georgia. The knuckleheads at the Times don't put the three stories together because the real players aren't in the press releases their reporters rewrite. But that's the fear industry for you. You aren't safer from the terrorists or criminals or felon voters, but the national wallet is several billions of dollars lighter, and the Bill of Rights is a couple of amendments shorter. And that's their program. They get the data mine, and we get the shaft. Greg Palast. The story, if you want to go up and take a look at it, gregpalast.com. Yeah, print it out and hand it to your people that one of these deadheads on these polls these polls. Guys, what, you want to come into the studio and do radio with me? I can hear you from here. My soundproofing here is failing. I can hear you through my headphones and on top of my own voice, which is in my head. I'm sorry? Yeah, my hearing's good. Thank you very much. At any rate, The Spies Who Shagged Us. Go up to GregPalast.com. Read it for yourself. Bush challenges hundreds of laws. And there's a picture here from the Boston Globe. There's George Bush just signing all kinds of provisions of the Patriot Act. And there's all the usual suspects and criminals, the haters of the Constitution, just standing there laughing and just watching him sign. Watching every little letter come out of the end of that ink pen. Isn't that wonderful? Charlie Savage from the Globe staff says that President Bush has quietly claimed the authority to disobey more than 750 laws enacted since he took office, asserting that he has the power to set aside any statute passed by Congress when it conflicts with his interpretation of the Constitution. Now do you start to understand why he called it just a GD piece of paper? This man has such a disdain for the American way of life, this republic, that he calls it a GD constitution, just a piece of paper. Is it any wonder why the guy can trash 750 laws, claim supremacy over it, declare war preemptively without an act of Congress to anybody on the face of the planet, kill and jail whoever he wants? You're starting to understand, you Bush deadheads, you un-American slobs, you. You people that still think that George Bush is a good, godly man, he's doing the best he can under these circumstances. He created the circumstances. Don't you get it? Among the laws that Bush said he can ignore are military rules and regulations, affirmative action provisions, requirements that Congress, he told, about immigration services problems, whistleblower protections for nuclear regulatory officials, and safeguards against political interference in federally funded research. Legal scholars say the scope of the aggression of the Bush assertions that he can bypass laws represent a concerted effort to expand his power at the expense of Congress, upsetting the balance between the branches of government. The Constitution is clear in assigning to Bush the power to write the laws and to the president a duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. You know, that's in his oath. Remember that one back in 2000? And again in 2004, Bush, however, has repeatedly declared that he does not need to execute a law he believes is unconstitutional. Former administration officials contend that just because Bush reserves the right to disobey a law does not mean he is not enforcing it. In many cases, he is simply asserting his belief that a certain requirement encroaches on his presidential power. But the disclosure of Bush's domestic spying program, in which he ignored a law requiring warrants to tap phones of Americans, many legal specialists say Bush is hardly reluctant to pass laws he believes he has the constitutional authority to override. Far more than any predecessor, Bush has been aggressive about declaring his right to ignore vast swaths of laws, many of which he says infringe on the power he believes the Constitution assigns to him alone as the head of the executive branch or the commander-in-chief of the military. Many legal scholars say that they believe that Bush's theory about his own power goes too far, and that he is seizing for himself some of the lawmaking role of Congress and the Constitution interpreting role of the courts. Philip Cooper, a Portland State University law professor who has studied the executive power claims Bush made during his first term, said Bush and his legal team have spent the last 5 years quietly working to concentrate ever more governmental power into the White House. There is no question that this administration has been involved in a very carefully thought-out, systematic process of expanding presidential power at the expense of other branches of government, Cooper said. This is really big, very expensive, and very, very significant. For the first 5 years of Bush presidency, his legal claims attracted little attention in Congress or the media. Then, twice in recent months, Bush drew security after challenging new laws, a torture ban, and the requirement that he give detailed reports to Congress about how he is using the Patriot Act. Instead, by the way, the Bush administration spokesman declined to make White House or Justice Department attorneys available to discuss any of Bush's challenges to the laws he has signed. So in other words, Bush declares it, and we don't even get the benefit of a talking head trying to spin it. Instead, they referred a Globe reporter to the response to questions about Bush's position that he could ignore provisions of the Patriot Act. They said at the time that Bush was following a practice that has been used for several administrations and that the president will faithfully execute the law in a manner that is consistent with the Constitution. You know, kill the break. That means when I do that, that means break. That means cut break. Okay. All right. I'm going to take a call here and I'll get back into a little bit more of this. John in Louisiana. Hello, John. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good evening, John. There's something to be said about Bush's snooping of private citizens on the telephone. What he's doing and what NSA is doing is making what's called voice prints. The audio pattern is being converted to a visual pattern. It's printed on paper. It will be distributed to databases all over the country eventually, and they'll be able to recognize a person by his voice alone. I don't guess they're not going to talk about that, but that's the way it is. Now, there's this mouthing about Bush having too much authority. The way I read the Act of Congress of March 9th, 1933 is Congress has turned over unlimited power to him as they would in a war and emergency, and we've been in that
emergency since March 9th of 1933. We've been in that correct.
Continuously.
Yes.
And so he is as he thinks, King John at Runnymede said when he was asked by the barons, where can we find the law? King John said, in my mouth. And so Bush realizes he has unlimited power. And if anybody challenges him of authority, if they challenge him, he'll bring down the whole presidency because he indeed has unlimited power. And every president since 1933 has had the same unlimited power. But it's a taboo. It's a third rail. It's something they don't dare discuss.
That's it. That's exactly right. And when was the last thank you for your call, John. I appreciate some salient points there. Yeah, when was the last time you ever heard the press talk about executive orders? And where was this power derived? And, geez, is it really true that the Congress, since March 9, 1933, when they officially declared bankruptcy, that they have been, that's right, they've been in charge of the trust. They've been the trustees of the bankruptcy of America. That's exactly right. Tell you what, we got a couple of clips here I want to play. You ready to roll those, guys? First one up, Joe Scarborough on the NSA. Can we roll that one?
Listening. No, really. He is listening, and he's tracking every phone call that you make. That shocking revelation revealed today when the details of yet another secret government spying program were revealed in a front-page screamer in the USA Today. Now, for liberals who've long been going against almost all of these issues to defend privacy, the news has to be disturbing. But no less so for conservatives who have fought national ID cards and gun registration for years out of fear of big government. Now, whatever you consider yourself, friends, you should be afraid. You should be very afraid. With over 200 million Americans targeted, this domestic spying program is so widespread, it is so random, it is so far removed from focusing on Al-Qaeda suspects that the president was talking about today, that it's hard to imagine any intelligence program in U.S. history being so susceptible to abuse. You know, I served on the Judiciary Committee and the Armed Services Committee in Congress for 4 years, and no program I studied while using security clearances ever came close to the scope of this massive spy program. It is dangerous, it breaks FCC laws, and it endangers all Americans' right to privacy. But you know what? The villains in this spy program are pretty easy to target, almost as easy as your phone records. First, you have the president, who's shown that he will break laws if they get in his way of spying. Second, Democratic leaders, they complain now, but where were they? They reviewed the program. Why no protest? Don't hold your press conferences now, Nancy Pelosi. Tell us about it when you learn about it. And finally, The phone companies, who actually profited from the government reading all of your phone bills, they should be sued and their CEOs fired. Hey, memo to the president and congressional leaders who signed off on this lousy program, we don't trust you anymore. We don't trust you with our phone bills. We don't trust you with our bank records. We don't trust you with our medical histories. From now on, if you want to look at Americans' private records, get a damn search warrant.
All right. The other one I want to play, I think this is all the time we have, is the Jack Cafferty. I think it's a minute and 35. Go ahead.
Jack. I don't know about wisdom, but you're getting a little outraged. We better all hope nothing happens to Arlen Specter, the Republican head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, because he might be all that's standing between us and a full-blown dictatorship in this country. He's vowed to question these phone company executives about volunteering to provide the government with my telephone records and yours and tens of millions of other Americans. Shortly after 9/11, AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South began providing the super-secret NSA with information on phone calls of millions of our citizens. All part of the war on terror, President Bush says. Why don't you go find Osama bin Laden and seal the country's borders and start inspecting the containers that come into our ports? The president rushed out this morning in the wake of this front-page story in USA Today and declared the government's doing nothing wrong and all this is just fine. Is it? Is it legal? Then why did the Justice Department suddenly drop its investigation of the warrantless spying on citizens? Because the NSA said Justice Department lawyers didn't have the necessary security clearance to do the investigation. Read that sentence again. A secret government agency has told our Justice Department that it's not allowed to investigate it. And the Justice Department just says okay and drops the whole thing. We're in some serious trouble here, boys and girls. Here's the question. Does it concern you that your phone company may be voluntarily providing your phone records to the government without your knowledge or your permission? If it doesn't, it sure as hell ought to. Email us your thoughts at CaffertyFile@CNN.com or go to CNN.com/CaffertyFile.
Now, where has Joe Scarborough been? My question is, where's Joe Scarborough been? Where was Jack Cafferty at when Homeland Security was entrenched, Patriot Act was enacted? Where was it when we had Poindexter trying to run the Total Information Awareness Program down our throats? Where were these guys at now? I mean, where were they then? And now they're starting to do this because, and I firmly believe this, folks, that when I read you the polls that almost half of the Americans, this is an ABC poll, that half of Americans weren't too upset with the government tapping into our phones if it helped fight terrorism. If Joe Scarborough and Jack Cafferty, you know, it was good what they did, especially Cafferty, a little harder edged on that deal. But where are they at with anything else that's constitutional? Where have these people been? They're starting to get scared now because the beast has pulled its mask off and they're now staring it in the face. They're starting to get a little bit worried. You know, everybody a couple of weeks ago breathed a sigh of relief when Charlie Sheen came out and said, you know, I think that 9/11 might have been an inside job and I have some serious questions. Well, it didn't take him too long to get around to trashing this guy. But where has our media been as being watchdogs for the American people with all the skullduggery that has come out of Washington, D.C., not just in this administration, but the administrations for the last 50 or 60 years? Sorry, guys, you're going to have to come up with a little harder edge and more consistent reporting on the trashing of this great republic to get this talk show host respect. God bless you people. We'll see you Monday. And folks, over the weekend, try to figure out a way that we can get this country back. You have some time in your hands. Use it.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.